new book that exposes the lies and anti-family agenda of the feminist movement. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
When I went to college, the principal interaction of men and women was called the date. A man would phone and invite a girl to be his guest for supper or to go to the movies. She would accept. They would have an enjoyable evening. He would pay the cost and then see that she got home safely. Maybe there would be a good night kiss at the door. The New York Times had a recent article stating that dating is now obsolete. Dating has been replaced by hanging out or hooking up. In this new world of internet posts and commitment-free sex, there are no clear rules. We can blame a lot of this change on the feminist movement. Feminism has frowned on old-fashioned courtship and taught young women there's something humiliating about a man buying a girl's dinner. Many young men today are afraid to ask a girl for a date. Some young women have begun to believe girls can get through life without men. Feminism has taught them that men are not really necessary after all. The disappearance of dating is a problem for young people of both genders who find it nearly impossible to find a spouse. But young women have biological clocks, and they can't wait forever if they want to have a family. Traditional dating worked to their advantage. The custom of restricting access to themselves gave women a tremendous amount of power. Men were forced to work to pursue women. Traditional dating also showed women which men were capable of supporting a family. And that's what she ought to know before she starts a serious relationship. What men want from women is sex and their own children. And women hold all the cards to set the term of a relationship. The best way for women to fix this situation is to insist on the traditional rules and even on old-fashioned courtship. Traditional dating and courtship were a very good pathway to marriage, and that's what we need more of today.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. The new book by Suzanne Venker and Phyllis Schlafly, The Flip Side of Feminism, What Conservative Women Know and Men Can't Say, exposes the lies and anti-family agenda of the feminist movement. For more on the book or to join the blog conversation, go to eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendivite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendivite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendivite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Once again, and thank you for joining us here at Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the remainder of this hour, and you are listening to Datum Line. In our previous Datum Line broadcast entitled Values Clarification Part 3, we continued a review of America's underlying spiritual shift over the last century or more, with its subsequent political and economic consequences. This is based on the premise repeated during the last 2 years of our broadcast that a nation's predominant religion is what ultimately determines the nature and character of its political economy. The impediment to America's economic recovery is firmly rooted in a religion that is alien to biblical Christianity and the people to whom it applies, pursuant to both the Old and New Covenants. Complicating what would otherwise be a much simpler picture is the fact that throughout history, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, there has been endless antagonism within our culture as it wavers between good and evil, exacerbated by population shifts that bring conflicting cultural beliefs and practices into hostile proximity. There were several such cultures, for example, with whom our Israelite predecessors were forbidden of God to have any polite contact, either nationally or individually, a situation seen by pick-and-choose smorgasbord theology and humanists as one of bigotry and hate. How could they possibly believe a book wherein God, at Exodus chapter 34 and Deuteronomy chapter 7, told Israel to destroy an entire social group without mercy? Perhaps our modern faith-based international community feels offended because God didn't take counsel with them, detailing all the reasons why he felt so bitter, so as to obtain their lofty approval and expert guidance. You'll hear people say that, "My God would never do that," which is probably true. But is their God bought and paid for? A celestial slave who conforms to their moral values? Or is he the sovereign Lord? The Bible contains numerous inconvenient truths which modern theology either ignores outright or sanitizes by rethinking or redefining what they don't agree with. Beginning from a foundation of human intellect, they'll presuppose that God made a mistake, or maybe the Bible was not translated correctly, or that their personally owned and loving Jesus of the New Testament is a new and improved God sent to replace the God of the Old Testament. And why not? If they can redefine the people to whom the New Testament contract was written in disregard of what the Bible says, they can remake God in their own image as well. One way or another, that book must be neutralized so as to make way for global governance that integrates everyone into a one-world religion. Everything that is viewed as objectionable to any other culture must be eliminated from the Bible in the naive or sinister belief that out of a political census, a global political census, will come a global religion to sustain a global political and economic utopia. This man-made fantasy is being organized around an antichrist international banking cartel that presides over its many ecumenical organizations: the United Nations, International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, and so forth. While America's immigration policy prior to 1965 was tilted in favor of its own European Christian ethnicity, new philosophies like communism, which is international or ecumenical socialism, were being imported right alongside them. At no time in American history was every European settler on the same page regarding their biblical understanding or their moral conduct. So it's impossible to highlight a time when righteousness ruled absolutely supreme with unanimous consent. Such is life. In our last message, we also touched upon a few examples of political nonconformity in the biblical history of Israel, from which students of Scripture from colonial America until now have been able to draw, and which contrast rather sharply from today's lockstep, politically correct, socialist groupthink mentality. From there, we turned our attention to the new American religion, which, thanks to academia, mainstream media, Hollywood, and modern seminaries, has won a massive congregation of converts to humanism. It's the ripening fruit of this religion, however, that bears witness against the so-called progress to which they point with pride. America's fundamental change in political and economic direction over the last century and a half, as stated before, has been the result of a corresponding shift in its predominant religion, from biblical Christianity to humanism, both of which are divided into various camps where you can spend a veritable lifetime studying the nuances of each. Most of the hair-splitting, however, is found on the side that professes a kind of Christian faith while aiding an anti-Christian socialist agenda. Putting this into historical context of the American Republic makes our discussion somewhat less cumbersome, although there's been a blurring of distinction between opposing forces over the last few centuries. We might attribute this to the effects of Darwinism, the solidification of political power in the hands of global financiers who create money out of nothing, and bankroll the various tyrannical political movements around the globe. The proliferation of new Bible translations and commentaries, along with other political and economic factors that have undermined the traditional religion of Western man all the way back to Adam. In our last message, we addressed a major cause of America's shift from a religion that accepted the Bible on a simpler level to a more critical view adopted by modern theology. It's this intellectual reinterpretation of Scripture, now taught in seminaries, according to how social engineering godmen would have written the Bible if God had thought to ask for their divine assistance. As we learned from Noel Wesley Holyfield, Jr., a graduate of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, in his thesis of 1976, written for a Master of Theology degree, the more education students received at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, the less they believed the Bible. Well, thanks to federally funded public education, the prevailing attitude in America seems to be that by denying the existence of God and the moral values of Scripture, one is simply exercising his democratic right to choose, which is then erroneously interpreted as being a vote for no religion at all. Delusions held by the deluded die hard. So we quoted a few principles from Humanist Manifesto 1, published in 1933, and Humanist Manifesto 2, which was published in 1973, to show that the signatories to both documents denied the existence of God while expressly affirming a religion that begins with man as the great expositor of moral truth, which can be learned only from experience, in other words, by experimentation through trial and error. America's credit system, imported from Europe in 1913, is a massive social experiment that denies the truth of God and set out to prove once and for all that nothing has to make sense and that we face no consequences for violating natural law. Government can spend what it doesn't have to steal what you produce because they wrote a law that says so. The elite among men have become God. And without the Bible or the law of God written on your heart to challenge that notion, there is no reason for you to doubt them. Getting rid of the Bible has proceeded along several lines by reinterpreting the Constitution's Free Exercise Clause and Thomas Jefferson's Wall of Separation Statement in a letter to the Danbury Baptists, by a proliferation of perverse Bible translations, by commentaries of theologians as to what God really meant to say in the Bible, and by scoffers at all levels of society. Getting rid of a godly conscience, God's new covenant law written on the heart, has been underway for a long time and is now proceeding in earnest with every method approved and facilitated by modern global theology. Today's message, Values Clarification, Part 4. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Fathom Line.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Water filtration holiday specials from RBN. You can get a Royal Berkey made of polished stainless steel that holds 3.25 gallons and comes with two black Berkey purification elements, one shower filter that'll do up to 20,000 gallons or typically last 1 year, and one Berkey sport bottle for the total price of $356, a $40 savings. We also have a Berkey Light, one shower filter and one sport bottle for the low price of $299, a $40 savings. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200 today.
Welcome back to this segment of Datum Line. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and today's message is entitled Values Clarification, Part 4. You know, for all of its lofty-sounding modern vocabulary, humanism is not a new religion. It's nothing more than ancient paganism all decked out in a new set of high-tech clothing. Instead of a despotic pharaoh with his team of magicians, we now have a behind-the-scenes invisible government of international bankers who, with their magic money-creating pens, pull the strings to motivate their expendable puppets in Washington, Paris, Toronto, London, Brussels, and elsewhere. America was developed as a Western European culture, guided by biblical precepts gleaned directly from the scriptures, which many American families read at home and were taught from the pulpit in the old country from which they came, and in the new world they now called home. These precepts, along with the law written on their heart or on their conscience, had for centuries, if not millennia, provided the guidelines for governing Occidental man. Occidental, by the way, is derived from the Latin word occidens, meaning the direction of the setting sun. Thus, its application to westward-moving Europeans. Since a few of our dying breeds still trace their ancestry to that part of the globe, listeners might be interested in the origin of the word Europe, according to Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, published in 1828. Noah, I guess, was named for a famous boat builder way back in the Book of Genesis. Citing Bocard as a linguistic authority, according to Noah Webster, the word Europe is derived from a Hebrew word. That's rather interesting, isn't it? A Hebrew word that means white face, and was thus applied to the land of white people. Now, it's been a long time since they filled out a government form. But years ago, they listed a category for honkies and crackers like me that presupposed we had sufficient gray matter to read and pronounce a three-syllable word, Caucasian. Can you say that word? Caucasian. Caucasian. Very good. Now, if you were like me, the word probably meant nothing other than a fancy-sounding synonym for white. One day, when I put my arm next to a paint chip labeled white down at Sherwin-Williams Paint Company, guess what? It didn't match. It was much closer to a discontinued color that Crayola crayons used to call flesh. So what on earth is meant by the word Caucasian? Well, dictionaries all seem to agree that it pertains to a mountain range in the extreme region of southeastern Europe. You might even call it an Asian mountain range. But that's a long ways off. And what could possibly connect us to such a remote region of the world? The word Caucasian, according to Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition, means, quote, of or pertaining to the white race. Well, various students of biblical history connect the name Caucasian to the migration of a people called Israel, who were taken captive and deported by the Assyrians to a region on the east or southeastern side of that mountain range around 726 B.C. or thereabouts. Archaeologist E. Raymond Capt, now deceased, and others trace the later migrations of Israel under different names across the Caucasus Mountains into what we now call Europe, Scandinavia, and the British Isles. Now, the implications of this are profound and may explain the conflicting definitions which have surfaced as if someone were trying to conceal a historical piece of the puzzle. Now, if you ever read Christopher Bryson's book, The Fluoride Deception, you might have recalled how his interview with Edward L. Bernays, nephew of Sigmund Freud, revealed how easy it was for Bernays to conceal an important truth from the American public on behalf of the fluoridation lobby, which was operating out of New York, New York. In fact, I used the word by which this was accomplished. It was the word fluoridation. This word was defined as, quote, the addition of fluorides to the public water supply to reduce the incidence of tooth decay, end quote. Well, who says? Well, that's Random House College Dictionary for 1982. But who told them and all the other dictionary editors that this was even true? Edward L. Bernays. By this method, public acceptance was given to a highly toxic industrial waste that has since been ascertained to cause mental retardation in low dosage, along with an array of other damaging side effects. So evidently, we have a chemical used for dumbing down society added to two-thirds of America's public water systems. Language manipulation was a subject covered in a previous economics series to show how modern economics and theology both redefined usury, which used to mean any interest whatsoever. That's according to the Bible, and Old English law and other laws throughout the European countries. And it now means excessive interest. That's quite a change. Also, where a bill of credit went from being a promissory note redeemable at a future day, that would have to be redeemable in money, according to Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, to a promissory note devoid of that redemption clause in the very next edition. Language has a way of changing, but there are people who have an interest, a vested interest, in having certain words change. The faith of our ancestors was understood in a different context from what is taught today in modern seminaries, and spewed from mainstream media and academia as part of the socialist doctrine to which we've all been liberally imbued. Furthermore, the pride of man is a strong deterrent to admitting folly, so it's almost impossible for us to put an official story aside long enough to see a different perspective, as in the case of the tragedy of 9/11. Who, after all, is willing to admit that he was duped by a politically biased media, or that his life's work was employed in supporting a diabolical cause orchestrated by a hidden agenda about which he failed to take notice in his naivete? Take this a step further. Imagine the mental anguish experienced by a young, idealistic, and dedicated employee in the service of an elite organization that he soon discovers is engaged in criminal activity. Then add the economic complications of a student loan, car loan, and home mortgage, which all depend on a steady, high-paying job for which he's most grateful, but is now about to lose. Let's go one step further. His outfit is a federal agency noted for its lack of forgiveness should a member of their team ever be found unfaithful. The conscience of a whistleblower can turn the world upside down and leave him or her without a country. While humanists have become more demanding of our tolerance, what remains of traditional Western Christian culture continues its retreat into an anemic pick-and-choose theology that pits one part of God's word against another. The line of scrimmage fixed between the books of Malachi and Matthew. It generally reads something like this: the New Testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But nowhere do we find the name of an author said to be acting under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So I guess the publisher must have written those words. But consider the effect of this page in light of what Jesus said. Quote, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Those words found in Mark chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. For the forces of evil arrayed against Christendom, that uninspired page set between Malachi and Matthew, dividing one part of the Bible from the other, had enormous investment potential. Under the tutelage of an unbeliever, a Bible student can be persuaded that all the text found to the left of that page was old and therefore outdated, being repealed by the newer, shorter, and more easy-to-read passages appearing to the right of that page. In this way, the later text became a tool by which to redefine the religion of our ancestors who accepted the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Well, there's our music. Here's our next break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Datum Line.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Water filtration holiday specials from RBN. You can get a Royal Berkey made of polished stainless steel that holds 3.25 gallons and comes with 2 black Berkey purification elements, 1 shower filter that'll do up to 20,000 gallons or typically last 1 year, and 1 Berkey sport bottle for the total price of $356, a $40 savings. We also have a Berkey Light, 1 shower filter and 1 sport bottle for the low price of $299, a $40 savings. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200 today.
Greetings once again and welcome back to this second half of Datum Line. Today's message is entitled Values Clarification Part 4. And just for qualification or clarification for Bible students, oftentimes, Bible students refer to or think of Genesis to Malachi as being the Old Testament, and they think of Matthew to Revelation as being the New Testament. But I should point out, and you can verify on your own, that the Old and the New Covenants, or the New Testaments, the word covenant and testament are the same word, are not synonymous with the entire biblical text in which those covenants are found, and occupy a very small portion in terms of the text of those covenants. In fact, the text of the New Covenant is found in Hebrews chapter 8, and you can pretty well summarize it in verses 8 through 10. Now, that's not very much space compared to all of the text from Matthew to Revelation. So profound are the diabolical ramifications of this division of the Bible that a brief look at their results is in order. First, modern theology now pays only lip service to the Ten Commandments. Second, they ignore the statutes and the judgments, which they assume apply only to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I'm not talking about the sacrificial ordinances. I'm talking about the statutes and the judgments. Third, they redefine the people to whom the New Testament specifically applies, identified now as spiritual Israel, in defiance of the clear language of the Hebrew epistle and elsewhere throughout the Old and New Scriptures. Fourth, dividing the Bible against itself divided the church. And you might call it the congregation. Those were the word, that was the word used in the Old Scriptures. And that divided the church or the congregation against itself. Fifth, bystanders who might have waded in for a serious look at this religion are deterred by the obvious internal rift or dissension, which makes for uncertainty as to whether they could ever find the true church in all of the confusion. Sixth, mainstream Christianity has embraced the humanist, Masonic, and Marxist call for a cross-cultural, universal brotherhood that is anathema to historical biblical Christianity and suicidal to the people of the Old and New Covenants. Seventh, with its insatiable thirst for a greater worldwide following, harvested in the wake of a more popular message, watered down to placate the world and the elite who run it, modern theology forsook the covenants of Scripture and the people to whom they pertain. While David wrote in Psalm 133:1 about how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, he was speaking of a day when our ancestors were more unified in service to God as part of what Stephen, before he was put to death, called the church in the wilderness at Acts chapter 7, verse 38. So you see, the church has an old history. Division existed within the church at the time of the apostles, to be sure, but nothing like today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For it hath been declared unto me that there are contentions among you, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?" Now today we call those four divisions, that being Paul, Apollos, Cephas, and Christ, we call those four divisions denominations. But we've come a long way since then, with a mastery over hair splitting to surpass the best that this world has to offer. Speaking at a conference a few years ago, a mainstream theologian revealed our state of spiritual confusion when stating that Internal Revenue grants tax-exempt status to some 27,500 different religious persuasions. Now, not all of those profess Christianity, of course, since the Church of Satan falls within the classification of a religious corporation. And I seriously doubt that Jesus Christ established or is the spiritual head of any religious corporation. The religion which now identifies with what they call a Judeo-Christian ethic is far from unified. But like the world of Wall Street, ecumenical mergers are in the works. All it takes is a little rethinking of what God really meant to say so as to build a new faith-based consensus that can be more easily merged with a global opiate spoken of by Vladimir Ulyanov, better known as Lenin. Because the Bible has been divided against itself, its prohibitions against interest and unjust weights and measures are both viewed by modern clergy as neutral subjects. In other words, they're of no modern relevance, which mainstream religion redelegated to the state, or Caesar, to decide by default. So forget about grassroots movements among faith-based believers to help you take on the Federal Reserve System, unless their pastors can be convinced that the system, licensed by the same government that created their religious corporation, by the way, commits theft every time another dollar is created out of nothing. Now, pastors might concede to the biblical prohibition against theft until they discover the name and magnitude of the adversary you have in mind. Another issue of concern to the productive laborer in our centrally planned and regulated socialist system that overthrew our constitutional free enterprise system without any meaningful opposition from mainstream religion is the income tax, which began at the federal level, with various state and local agencies claiming a percentage of the federal take, presupposing that the federal tax was lawful. Now, Contrast that with what Jesus said at Luke chapter 10, verse 7, that the laborer is worthy of his hire. The Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18, reminded Timothy and us that thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. Well, do modern theologians agree with this? Certainly. And before April 15th, you can count on an annual Render Unto Caesar sermon on behalf of Internal Revenue, from whom they receive tax-exempt status, while the rest of the congregation is reminded to fill out the forms, declaring under penalty of perjury that their wages are income, when the Internal Revenue Code nowhere defined the word income, while the United States Supreme Court said that wages were not income. Parishioners further admit to having received dollars, and therefore somehow manage to admit that they receive money, when the Internal Revenue Code doesn't seem to know the definition of either one of those terms. Nor do most educated Americans. And clergymen don't explain why or how their congregation became witnesses against themselves without Fifth Amendment protection when they filled out the forms. A federal income tax would have been a hard sell when the ink was still fresh on the Constitution of a more biblical, literate American people. Not that taxes were unthinkable, but for government to pry into one's private life was considered anathema. How much did you earn last year? List all of your expenses. To whom did you make your religious donations or contributions? How much do you owe? For what? And to whom? And so forth and so on. When the Bible became available for everyone to read, it supplied eye-opening lessons about government, especially government tyranny. Most of the Bible has to do with government. And many of the American colonists were hungry for what it had to say, being well aware of the tax revolt that God ordained when he divided Israel into two kingdoms under kings Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Why don't the tax-exempt pastors read that story to their parishioners before April 15th? Well, you can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 12, and maybe you'll find out why. The most prosperous country in the world was developed without an income tax that, according to exhaustive research done by many people over several decades, was unlawfully imposed on an unsuspecting public who no longer plow in hope. Clergymen, behold to Internal Revenue, however, are not about to confront federal injustice. But who knows? The income tax may very well be a God-ordained curse imposed upon us for having asked and now even demanding that government supply all our needs, instead of taking care of ourselves, each other, and by returning to the godly principles that can lead us out of the bondage in which we find ourselves. Americans are confronted by an alien invasion from the South, to which they receive no effective protection from Washington, nor do the activists of modern theology find this vast and defiant influx objectionable. In fact, some of them encourage it by providing sanctuary for the multitudes based on an interpretation of Scripture taken out of context. Well, I hear music. Guess we have another break. This is Datum Line. Today's message, Values Clarification, Part 4. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, Try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Are you prepared? Really, are you prepared? Times aren't getting any better. Everything everywhere is getting tighter. Time for you to look out for the ones you care about. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com has everything you need for any event that might come your way. First aid kits, camping gear, training books, self-defense equipment, long shelf life, GMO-free storable food. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com has it all. Veteran-owned and operated. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is here for you.
Oh, welcome back. This is the final segment of this installment of Bottom Line, Values Clarification, Part 4. On the other side of this break, I had begun to mention the subject of the alien influx from the South and how it is that a lot of activists within what they call the faith-based community find no problem with this defiant influx. In fact, they encourage it. Now, to say anything contrary to it is to be labeled a racist hate monger. But this is not an issue about love versus hate. It's a matter of common sense, social stability, maybe a little bit of historical social stability, and national survival. I do not dislike, let alone hate, those other people. I don't dislike or hate my neighbors. But we all seem to agree that their house belongs to them, and mine is where I retreat for sanctuary from the pressures of this world. If modern theologians believe in tearing down our national borders, then let them first move into a multicultural neighborhood, like Palestine. Then take the doors off their hinges and see how well they sleep at night, or if they even wake up the next morning. The Middle East conflagration has been going on for 60 years since the State of Israel was created, and that is a legacy of global government called the United Nations. And that global government is sustained by the rising one-world religion. The prophet Jeremiah, a man imbued with the Spirit of God, wrote of his concern about an alien flood during his ministry in a book of sorrows called Lamentations at chapter 5, where, because of their disobedience to the commandments of God, Israel was inundated by cultures that were alien to her own, among other curses listed in the same chapter. Here's what it says in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Remember, O Lord, what is come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. Does that sound like a blessing for which Jeremiah is giving thanks to God? Not at all. Nor do we find any example where Israel was admonished to open her gates to any culture, meaning any law, language, race, practice, or custom, that was alien to her own. Nevertheless, an out-of-context misinterpretation of the New Testament text, which occupies less than 100 years of biblical time frame, are pitted against a tremendous weight of biblical history to reverse an unchanging God who never lost the people of the first covenant, to whom he provided a new and better covenant by the death of a kinsman redeemer on the cross at Calvary. You can read about the kinsman relationship at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, which was in fulfillment of the law at Leviticus chapter 25, verse 47 through 49. But ask a seminary graduate where the 12 tribes of Israel are today, and you will do well to find any interest whatsoever in the question, even though it is to Israel that Jesus came, Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7, and Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 16. It was to Israel that Jesus sent his disciples, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. It was to Israel that God's word was to be preached until Christ's return, Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. It was to Israel that James wrote his epistle, James 1, verse 1. It was to Israel as strangers in foreign lands that Peter wrote his epistle, 1 Peter 1, verse 1. It was to Israel that Paul wrote his epistles, and to whom the vast weight of Scripture specifically applies, Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. It was the Israelites in dispersion, identified as the Gentiles, which means nations, and Abraham was the father of many Gentiles, nations, goy, or ethnos, depending on which language you wish to speak. It was the Israelites in dispersion who were grafted back into their original rootstock. You can read about it in Romans chapter 11. And Paul delights in telling you from the Bible, from the old scriptures, how to interpret Romans chapter 11. That was after God divorced the 10 northern tribes. You read about that in Jeremiah chapter 3, specifically at verse 8. And where God promised to remarry those 10 tribes at Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 14, as the Apostle Paul later explained from Romans chapter 7. It was to Israel that the New Testament, or New Covenant, same word, was written in the blood of our Savior. And you read about that in Hebrews chapter 8, 8 through 10, in fulfillment of Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, almost word for word, and confirmed by the Lord Jesus Christ when he held up the chalice and he says, this is the blood of the New Testament, or he could have said the New Covenant, which is shed for you. Two other gospels say that it was shed for many, but it wasn't shed for all. A theology that cannot hang on to the covenant people of God, for whom our Savior was nailed to the cross, will have little concern for the descendants of those same people, who are now being sold into cruel bondage once again, this time to the New World Order. Their tax-exempt ministries are to everyone but true biblical Israel. So if the Word of God speaks to your heart and you're feeling a little bit left out of the new religious, political, and economic order while being told to pay for it, then maybe you're a genuine descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob Israel. Truth is often stranger than fiction. Why is that? Because we've been fed so much fiction as if it were true that when we hear the truth, it sounds stranger than fiction. As the old Arkansas hillbilly used to say, it ain't so much in not knowing as knowing what ain't so. And we in America have been fed an awful lot of pottage that ain't so. The socialist belief system of our modern organized religious corporations is humanism. There is an orderly flow of godly authority by which his divine will is to be carried out for all of his creation. But like King Saul, who had a better idea about how to consummate the military campaign against the Amalekites, you can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 15, today's clergy have revised God's missionary program to suit their own personal feelings. Now, it's easy to get confused when we build on a faulty premise, and particularly when strangers within our gates have risen to powerful positions of intellectual, political, and economic leadership over us. You read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 43 and 44. What we believe, our moral values, are molded by the techniques of Madison Avenue in that New York City and spirit of Edward L. Bernays. Consequently, a religion that professes to represent the God of Scripture now comfortably coexists with the anti-Christian world and its socialist political economy. Modern theology began to downplay the commandments of God by the time I came along and following that turn of events, the Supreme Court finally dispensed with the Bible and Christian values built upon the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation, thereby freeing Congress to ordain new and immoral lifestyles by legislative decree, while mainstream religion and Hollywood stepped up their campaign to idolize the perverse after having ridiculed propriety for so long. When various taboos of a biblically oriented society came under more flagrant assault, protected by statute, media, academia, and a retreating Christian ethic, the more timid humanists were emboldened to ordain new religious leaders who would propagate perverse lifestyles from the pulpit under the guise of reaching out to the alternate afflicted with godly compassion and understanding. But accommodation of a sinful lifestyle is not a synonym for repentance or an admonition to repent of that lifestyle. Modern theology is accommodating every perversity that is identified in Scripture as such, not for the purpose of trying to end it, but accommodating it, thereby allowing modern Christians to blend into all of the other religions of the world. It's a one-world system, a one-world religion which establishes a one-world political system, which is orchestrated by a one-world economic system of monetized debt. No country in the world is using anything as money. If you think they are, I'll give you £100 of whatever it is. Thanks for listening. This is Bruce G. McCarthy. This has been Datumline. Have a good day.